This is a recording of the Manuel Perez conference with MEXCOM Telecommunications on October 26, 2012, at 8 a.m. Central Time. Good morning, and welcome to today's MEXCOM Telecommunications third quarter 2012 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We remind you that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any questions or if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. After this presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Before we begin, let me say that information expressed or implied during the conference may include forward-looking statements that involve risks or uncertainties that are detailed from time to time in the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission files at the company. Words such as estimate, project, plan, believe, expect, anticipate, intend, and similar expressions may identify such forward-looking statements. The company wants to caution listeners that any forward-looking statements in this call or made by the company's management involve risks or uncertainties that may change based on various important factors not under control of the company. These forward-looking statements represent the company's judgment at this time for the call. The company disclaims, however, any intent or obligation to update this forward-looking statement. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference call over to Mr. Salvador Alvarez, MEXCOM's Chief Executive Officer. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our quarterly conference call for discussing MEXCOM's operating and financial results for the quarter ended September 30th, 2012. With me on the call, Daniel Cabrero, who's our Chief Financial Officer, and Manuel Perez, who handles our investor relations. This call is being recorded, and a playback will be available in a few hours from now. Our earnings release, which has been forwarded to all of you, is posted on our website and ready for download. Before jumping into the numbers, I think it is important to tell that this quarter has shown a reverse trend in the indicators reported along the first half of the year. The company achieved sequential improvements. For instance, we were close to growing double digits in the top line, while continuing to strengthening the net additions path. Our core business, commercial and residential, continued achieving higher revenues stemming from a well-aligned sales force and a well-designed portfolio of products. Building on the performance of our core businesses and the continued generation of savings along our expense structure, I am clear that we are heading with the right footing to the renegotiation of the debt. As I promised, we are immersed in a clear turnaround on PAXCOM, and administration under my command is about to deliver a self-sustaining company, capable to have an efficient production and solid growth. The bottom line of this crusade is the generation of value for all of you, and this is our very commitment. In this reporting quarter, offsetting the improvements of our core businesses, public telephony remained behind the performance pace that we planned to achieve, while in the wholesale we were able to reverse the trend, increasing in 45% its revenue contribution in a sequential basis. To end this small introduction, we are clearly walking the talk. You could witness it in our core business performance. Our cost structure reduction and our cash position all mean the proofs that MEXCOM makes it work. As we used to, I will commence with an overview of the MEXCOM performance in this period, followed by the senior management assessment of the company. Lastly, Miguel will bring forth the financial highlights, and we'll end the conference with an open Q&A session where you have wide room to get in for the call. Over a quarter of our cash generation capacity remained sound, reaching 397 million pesos at the end of the period, increasing 33 million along the quarter. We continue with our client acquisition discipline that allow us to have solid rock churn of 2.2%, which increased 20 basis points in a sequential basis. It's paramount to tell that in spite of experiencing net adds growth in a double-digit fashion, our churn rate just went up marginally, clear indicator of our strong operational and administrative controls. And its increase was not related at all with residential sales. It came from the wholesale side. At the same time, MEXCOM kept the pace of RGU growth path, achieving 10% growth rate in the residential base of RGUs, while increasing penetration of services per client in the commercial segment, where we reached 20.9 RGUs per client, as well as increasing sales in data and pay TV services in almost 25%. I believe this is clear and solid proof that we are reconnecting with our clients all along our market niche. The sequential trend of net adds continues, and the rate of growth is going steeper. We are confident that we will end the year in a pretty good shape, and we're to start 2013 with solid ground. As mentioned, in the last reporting quarter, we have been working in the alignment of the sales force to the very interest of the company. As a consequence, we are having net additions while keeping the churn rate in a healthy range. This is instrumental to us, given our Canvas system of sales. By the end of this reporting quarter, the total number of RGUs increased by 43,000 RGUs in a yearly basis and 18,000 in a sequential basis when compared to the second quarter of 2012. We are getting into the groove in net adds wise, and I am glad to say that the growth rate is going faster quarter over quarter. The base of residential customers increased by 25,000 customers to reach 269,000 compared to 2,044,000 of the third quarter of 2011 on a yearly basis, and 7,000 or 3% in a sequential basis when compared to the second quarter of this very year, keeping accelerated growth pace. The number of commercial customers declined by 242 or 7% in a yearly basis and remained steady in a sequential basis. The number of public telephony RGUs remained flat in 37,000 lines. The increasing penetration of RGUs per customer in our commercial business in tandem with a net ad growth trend in residential while maintaining ARPUs show that we are maximizing the use of our resources and we are delivering results. We took the blow in the wholesale, but we stood tall, thanks to the brand reconnection with the market. In the residential segment, we continue with the bundling of services as a very mean to withhold our customer base. Without disregarding the support generated by our pay TV product that keep Maxcom at the very forefront of the technological edge, while gaining new clients stemming from the offering of Net Broadband and our appealing price performance proposal. Broadband RGUs and IPTV RGUs achieved a 24% growth in a year-over-year basis, which gives us a good idea of the success of this product. It is important to mention that we are adding residential clients with an entry penetration of 2 RGUs per client, proof of our bundling strategy success. We are still foreseeing room for growth in pay TV and broadband, while expecting the attraction of more clients for portability. By having more RGUs, we are extracting the most from our network, which also proves that our network is technologically capable to cater all our clients' needs and to support the attraction of new clients as well. I am quite satisfied to show with results the value of the Maxcom brand and the Maxcom assets. And there is still room for more upside for the top line stemming from these net adds once we'll be able to penetrate the new clients with more services. In the commercial business, we strive in the retention of our customers by having the best practices of customer care in the market. Our top-notch service is clearly reflected in the RGU penetration per customer, which has reached 21 services per client during the third quarter of this year, without giving up our margins. Actually, the ARPU has increased 2%. Our clients are starting to reward our brand, which are backed by our specialization, service, and dedication. We base our future in the operational fundamentals of our borrowing business, but it is important to tell that the telcos market in Mexico is placed in a juncture. The authorities are about to resolving some legal and regulatory issues that will be significant for some local carriers. Maxcom, between them, a positive outcome of this so-called resolution will boost the results that we are already achieving. The 14% annual reduction in SG&A and the 8% of annual growth in our RGU base, while sequentially increasing cash levels in 33 million pesos, proves that we have now a stable and sustainable business. The company has been cash flow neutral year to date, in spite of the resources that we have used to support the net additions trend. We are convinced that there is not a better investment for Mascom than the resources oriented to underpin our core businesses. Reason for that, we have invested 66 million pesos of incremental CapEx year to date. In public telephony, we stick to the plan, achieve on the operation to pursue a profitable divestiture oriented to get the processes to strengthen our financial position. In wholesale, we achieved 100 million pesos of revenue contribution, 20% below the revenue contribution recorded a year ago, but we bounced back 45% in a sequential basis, gaining 31 million pesos when compared to the 69 million pesos registered in the previous quarter. It is important to tell that we gave up a bit of our profit margin, to achieve higher sales. For that sake, the wholesale business took a toll in 2% reduction in the EBITDA margin. Our average monthly churn rate for the quarter was 2.2%, higher than the 2% of the last quarter and below last year average of 2.5%. The churn increases stems from RGU disconnections in wholesale, not from a residential business disconnection. As well, it is important to explain that churn is not a fundamental performance metric in wholesale as it is for residential. The range of churn that we have achieved in our operation is instrumental to growing the framework of another CAPEX program. And the discipline in our CAPEX program is clearly reflected in our cash levels. About CAPEX, we ended the quarter with expenditures for 144 million pesos during this period, 22% higher than last year's. The incremental CAPEX has been used to support our net adds, and its rhythm of growth has stabilized. In the last quarter, CAPEX increased 33%, while this quarter just increased 22% in a yearly basis. Notwithstanding the higher steep achieved in the net adds growth rate, which implies higher efficiency quarter over quarter in the use of resources. We find the strategic investments in pay TV and data. Internet penetration in Mexico is still low when compared to its LATAM peers. Pay TV is expected to have a 50% penetration in the country for the next year. We foresee substantial room for growth in these two products, which are leading the expansion and we have now in the residential segment. The success of these products in our bundles constitutes a fence against the intensified competition in mobile tariffs in the retail market. Our numbers show that Mascom remains strong in its market niche. In spite of an intensified competition in tariffs in the retail market and the effect of it in the wholesale business, we kept EBITDA margin in the 30s range. Result of the anticipated net measures that we took in our marketing and commercial strategies. EBITDA margin contracted from 33 to 31% annually and sequentially. The aforementioned margin reduction was offset by higher revenues, and gross EBITDA went 4% up compared to the second quarter of this very year. The third quarter of 2012 reflected important achievements for us. We regained ground in the revenues, which went up 9% sequentially, and EBITDA went 4% up sequentially. RGUs went up 3% in the same basis, and 8% on a year-over-year basis. Wholesale bounced back to 100 million pesos in its revenue contribution, in spite of navigating in choppy waters. The ship is heading to a safe harbor, and the numbers witness a clear midterm in the route. Although we kept SG&A savings in 14%, we are not pleased, and we can have more, and we'll get it. This is just a matter of time and the maturation of some operation improvements that are going to allow us to have a broader savings and richer margins. During the quarter, EBITDA decreased 12% on a yearly basis and increased 4% sequentially, as I mentioned. Cash decreased 47 million basis on a yearly basis and increased 33 million pesos sequentially. Summing up, we recouped the revenue stream in a sequential fashion without giving up our churn rate analysis, extending from an accelerated trend in net adds along the residential business by one hand, a higher contribution of the commercial business by the other hand. The commercial business line had a better ARPU, a higher ARPU per client, and we covered most of the revenues lost in the wholesale business during the past quarter. Our cash flow generation neutrality is to be safeguard that thanks to the discipline of our CapEx program, and we are making strategic investments in our core businesses to have a sound growth. And with that, I would like now to turn the call to Miguel to discuss the quarterly financial information. I thank you very much for your time, and we'll keep you posted and updated in our company. You have a nice day and a very pleasant weekend.
Thank you, Salvador, and good morning to everyone. As we used to, I will go over the main points of the balance sheet and P&L in order to pinpoint the relevant information about this quarter, and afterwards we'll end the conference with a Q&A session. Regarding the balance sheet, when seeing at the cash and cash equivalents, we ended the quarter with 397 million pesos, higher than the 364 million registered at the end of the second quarter of this year. Year to date, we are at the verge of cash flow neutrality. We started the year with 397 million pesos, and we have the same amount of cash at the end of this reporting quarter. In a yearly comparison, we are below the 444 million pesos that we registered in the third quarter of last year, as a result of an incremental capex used to support the net additions growth that Salvador already underscored in his speech. As well, we kept the ground in the ARPUs while the residential ARPU remained quasi-flat in a yearly base, and the commercial ARPU increased 2%. Going forward into the balance to net accounts receivable, we had a 116 million pesos or 15% decrease in a year-over-year basis, passing from 775 million pesos in the third quarter 2011 to 659 million pesos for this reporting quarter. In fixed assets, we had a decrease of 129 million when compared to third quarter 2011, registered in the account of telephone network systems and equipment. Effect of the investment program and the depreciation charges over the period. Moving on to the right side of the balance sheet, accounts payable decreased by 4% when compared to the third quarter 2011, pretty much in line with the amount recorded in the same quarter last year. About long-term liabilities, the nominal value of our outstanding debt represented in its majority by the senior notes went down in its peso valuation by 4% or 105 million pesos when compared to third quarter 2011, and decreased by 6% or 158 million pesos sequentially. The changes in the debt valuation are closely related to the peso exchange rate fluctuation. Moving into the P&L, revenues for the quarter were 566 million pesos, lesser than the 594 million pesos registered in the third quarter of last year. In a yearly basis, if we sum up the commercial and residential revenues, our very core businesses, accounting for almost 75% of our revenue stream, we witnessed a good performance in sales yearly and sequentially. Both business units went up in a range of 4% to 7% yearly and sequentially. When compared in a yearly base, wholesale decreased its contribution to the top line of the company by 35 million, but sequentially recovered its contribution by 31 million pesos or 45%. In a yearly basis, the top line in the overall decreased by $28 million. Sequentially, revenues increased $49 million, or 9%. In the residential sector, revenues increased 4% yearly and sequentially, growing from a stable ARPU and a bigger REU base. The largest contribution for REU additions in the residential business came from broadband, accounted for almost 24,000 net additions, and pay TV with more than 13,000 new subscribers in a yearly basis. About ARPU, we got 177 pesos, 1% higher in a sequential basis, while remaining steady in our use per residential customer. Commercial revenues increased 6% in a yearly basis when compared to the third quarter 2011, and 7% sequentially. This increment stemmed from higher revenues in data services and voice. In public telephony, the 24% decline in revenue year over year was driven by lesser usage in our existing base of public phones. About wholesale, in the third quarter 2012, revenues decreased by 26% on a year-over-year basis and increased 45% sequentially. The yearly fall is mostly as a consequence of lower tariffs, while the sequential recovery stems from sales to new operators. Summing up, we continued with a steady trend of net additions over the residential segment, which has sped up sequentially without giving up the margins. Growth in the REU base stems from stable and reliable clients by one hand, clearly reflected in the churn rate, and the attraction of new clients by the other hand. We are foreseeing a continuing expansion path for the last reporting quarter of the year, and a stable ARPU as well. The summing of both effects should be translated in better results for the company at year-end and for the incoming 2013. In the commercial segment, we observed a steeper recovery over this quarter, trend that we expect to withhold by keeping the pace in the sales of more data and value-added services. In public telephony, we had a revenue decrease. It amounted 24% annually fall and a 5% sequentially. It's important to tell that the decline pace in revenue was cut to a single digit sequentially when compared to the 10% sequential fall into revenues in the previous quarter. The senior management is very keen into the recovery of this business unit. Wholesale is still lackluster when compared to 2011 as a consequence of tariff cuts. We reacted this quarter by compensating the lesser margins with higher volume, and we bounced back in 31 million pesos the revenue stream of this business. Bottom line, I see better performance in our core businesses. We are operating with very decent disconnection rates while having an accelerated growth in our use, already reflecting in the company's top line as promised in the last conference. We achieved the aforementioned improvements while keeping the steadiness in our cash levels, even when we have faced the erosion on wholesale and public telephony contribution. Concluding, we have a steeper growth rate in the commercial business revenues stemming from sales and data services, and a steady ARPU, and an accelerated recovery in net adds in the residential segments, and an important sequential recovery in wholesale stemming from sales to new clients, offset by lesser margins in wholesale and a continuing erosion in the ARPU and usage of public telephony. Regarding cost, network operation cost increased 13% on a year-over-year basis, mainly as a result of higher wholesale traffic reflected in higher interconnection costs. The gross profit margin achieved a 62% rate, 6% below the 68% registered in the same period last year. The breakdown of our gross profit is explained in greater detail in the earnings press release prepared for the quarter. SG&A expenses remained in a downward trend. These expenses went down 14% yearly as a consequence of adjustments in the expenses structure. For instance, we eased substantially the payroll burden, as well as generated savings in sale expenses without affecting the performance of our canvas body. And last but not least, it's paramount to tell that we got significant achievements in bad debt provisions. EBITDA decreased in the third quarter 2012 in a yearly basis 25 million pesos or 12%, while increased 6 million or 4% sequentially. We identify the wholesale revenues as the key driver behind the EBITDA fall in this reporting quarter, while commercial and residential operational improvements partially offset the negative effect of our secondary business lines. EBITDA remains in the 30s range and went down 200 basis points sequentially. Going down to depreciation charges, those decreased 15%, passing from 168 million during the same period last year to 143 million for this quarter. Capital expenditures amounted 144 million pesos during the third quarter of this year, compared to 118 million pesos during the same period of last year. The incremental capex is direct consequence of the new additions of RUs. We have well-defined boundaries for any increments in our investments. In such way, we watch tightly the cash preservation. As final remarks, we continue keeping the final acquisition and capex discipline as measures to safeguard our cash levels, while using strategic incremental capex to underpin it adds. These adds are fueling by the appealing of our product edge and the effort of our Canvas force without giving up margins. Proof of that is the ARPU enhancement over two consecutive reporting quarters. Finally, we are offsetting at a faster pace the contribution fall in our secondary businesses of wholesale and public telephony, with higher revenues stemming from our current businesses, residential and commercial. Thank you for your time, and please do not hesitate to address any inquiry to the finance team of Maxim. With that, I will hand the call over to the operator for the Q&A session. Operator, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, the floor is open for your questions. If you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. We will take all questions in the order that they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Alvaro Gonzalez with GMP Securities.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for the call. During the last quarter, you mentioned EBITDA guidance of 3 to 5% below 2011 numbers. So far, we're 15% down. I would like to know your guidance for the rest of the year.
Alvaro, I will give you our expectation for the year-end. In terms of revenue, we think we will be low from 7 to 8% below 2011. In terms of EBITDA, we think we'll be around 700 million pesos. In terms of cash, we will be in the range between 300 and 350 million pesos. And the capex, the capital expenditures, will amount in the neighborhood of $35 million.
Thank you very much. And one last question. In relation to the sale of your public telephony segment, have you seen any progress on that?
Not at this moment. We don't have any news to comment to you. We are still working on that. You know, the operators in this segment are not so many, so it's not so easy. And so it's soon to say that we are going nowhere in this effort. We think we can achieve something in the next month, but at this moment we have nothing really important to mention to you.
Perfect. Thank you for the call.
Our next question comes from Jamie Nicholson with Credit Suisse.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I was wondering if you could speak about how much sustainable capex you need. I guess the question is, how much growth do you think you can achieve over the coming years with capex that's matching your cash flow? If you could give us a little guidance on kind of what your expectations for subscriber growth, how much growth you could have just given this sort of $35 million annual capex run rate. Thanks.
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question. What we are estimating right now is that at this CAPEX ratio, we are going to be able to maintain a medium single-digit growth, but very profitable and coming from our core businesses. That's what we are seeking. Of course, you know, we have the maturity of our debt next year, and that's something that we're going to have to think about how we're going to be, you know, dealing with that, and how do we see the future, you know, after that event. So the question would be, we are foreseeing our growth coming from our own cash generation capabilities being in the single-digit term, but very, very specialized in our core business and very profitable.
And then just given that comment you made about, you know, your upcoming debt maturity in a couple years or in 14, do you see potential for reserving cash to help with that bond maturity, or what other strategies are you looking at? Are there any possible asset sales and other than the public telephony that you're looking at more closely? Any guidance on what your strategy might be on that would be helpful.
Well, you know, right now we are working on that, you know, I'm very sure that very soon we're going to be giving you more light on this regard, but certainly we still have assets that have not got to the company that we are putting together and evaluating to get rid of them. And, of course, you know, we're working on a plan to determine how much cash and what's the amount of resources going to be needed in the near future. And after that, you know, we'll come to the table and we'll talk to you, all of you guys, you know, about how do we foresee the future and which are alternatives we look forward. You know, in any case, we're very, very enthusiastic that we have a very solid business plan, and as you can see with the numbers, you know, our core business are performing very well, and if this happens, you know, I'm very sure that we will find interesting any kind of deal or arrangement we put on the table.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Andres Coelho with the Scotiabank.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for the call. I have a question on the Supreme Court ruling on mobile termination rates. This week, the court ruled that those operators that did sign an agreement with the mobile companies, which is your case, will not benefit from COFETEL's authority to rule on termination rates. Basically, that's what they call to set the rates freely, right? So I was hearing to the court on Tuesday, and they said that section of the ruling that said that companies that did sign an agreement was not going to be included in the final ruling precisely because it is not related to the Axtel Telcel case. So I don't know if after this specific ruling on Tuesday, your outlook for potentially getting back those historic payments on MTR changed. So I just would like to get a sense of whether you can still get that money back, the time frame, and what is the legal basis for you to potentially recover that money. Thank you.
Well, you know, two things. One, you know, we have not been notified, and we still don't know, you know, how the Supreme Court is going to be making its decision. What we know, two things. First, I come into that, you know, I'd like to say that in any case, this is absolutely neutral to us because we have paid everything to this date, and we have recognized, you know, full cost. So in the event that we have no right at all, you know, the impact on the company is going to be zero. So, you know, given the fact that it's going to be all, you know, upside opportunity, what I can tell you is that up to date, or what we know up to now, is that what the court is, or the one of the theses that is maintained at the court, is that it's no matter, you know, if there were agreement, in the parties had any kind of agreement of the tariffs, because there was no liberty to fix, you know, those rates, given the disproportion of the people, you know, sitting at the table. That's why what the Supreme Court just said is that they recognized the authority of COFEPEL to establish rates amongst the operators, no matter if they have a different agreement, you know, based on which model. That's what we are discussing now. If the model is going to be a cost model, or if the model is going to be, you know, an international cost model, or if they can just arbitrarily, you know, fix the rates because of the national interest. In any case, all this, you know, what he's trying is to support the differences in the negotiation power of the parties seated at the table. So I think it's still too early. And
tell me how much money you are expecting to save at this point, and how much time will it take from the time that the Supreme Court gives the final ruling, which is probably going to come out next week, probably Monday or Tuesday. From that point, how much time do you think it will take for you to start saving that money or to stop suspending those payments to the wireless companies? So if you can just give us an update on the amount of money and potentially the time frame if the Supreme Court favors Axtel and favors a cost model that excludes externalities.
Okay. Andres, this is Miguel. Our estimates put the number in the range from 700 to 800 million pesos, the payment that we've made in excess to the mobile operators if we got the rate in the range that we expect, in the range of 40 cents for the previous years. We think that we can start to compensate this amount of money, and we think that we will use this money in a time frame from 2 years to maybe maximum 3 years.
Okay, Neil, thank you. And just one last question. Excuse me for insisting this. It's a very important thing, as you can imagine. Just one last question. When you signed those interconnection agreements with Telcel or with Telefonica, did you include in those interconnection agreements a clause that clearly stated that those agreements were just provisional agreements, that was not definite, and that you were expecting either the COFETEL or the court to set the final rate? I just want to make sure that you included a specific clause in your interconnection agreement that clearly states that you are still waiting for a ruling before the final rate was agreed.
Yes, Andres. We think that our understanding, our interpretation of those contracts is that those were temporary agreements because we at that time we were implementing the CPPN, the 045 interconnection system. So, in addition to that, we included in those contracts a non-discrimination treatment. That means that if other operators received a different treatment from the mobile operators, we will receive the same treatment, the same tariffs of those other operators. That means that we think if Axtel or other operators receive a lower end, we have the right to claim the same tariff.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
At this time, we have no other parties in the queue. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And ladies and gentlemen, it appears we have reached the conclusion of our conference. You may now disconnect your phone lines and have a wonderful weekend.